it so. Lech Lecha. You know, we're moving into a new part of Scripture, really. It's kind of a little bit different than what we've had up to this point, because for the first 11 chapters of Genesis, there's been a lot going on, but we've moved through it fairly quickly. We went through the creation story. We had Adam and Eve's story in there. We had the flood going on with Noah, even the Tower of Babel. Now we come to a new section of Scripture. We come to Abram, whose name is going to be changed to Abraham by the end of this, by the end of this portion. Now, Abraham is considered by the Jewish community to be the father of Judaism, as he was the first to teach that there is only one God. Although Adam may have something to say about that. I think he knew it, and he was before. But we say that Abraham is the father of Judaism because he was the first to teach it. And we read about Abram being called out by Adonai in Genesis 12:1. So I want to read a couple of verses starting in Genesis 12:1. Then Adonai said to Abram, "Go get out from your land and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. My heart's desire is to make you into a great nation, to bless you, to make your name great so that you may be a blessing. My desire is to bless those who bless you, but whoever curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." Adonai told Abram to go to a land that I will show you. He didn't know it yet. Abram didn't know what that land was. But by faith and trust, he went, because he learned who the one true God is and knew that he could trust in the instructions that were coming from that one true God. And we're to go forward in the directions of Adonai as well, to not just leave some things behind, but to move forward to the things that Adonai wants for us. It's the only way to find ourselves in him and to prosper, to become rich in the way that Adonai wants for us, to be great in a way that he wants us to be great. This is not the kind of greatness that boasts about how great you are to other people. It's a greatness that is the fulfilling of what Adonai always wanted you to become. The greatness is not the result, but the greatness is that we become who he wants us to be. Greatness is becoming what he always had planned for you. From before your birth, before you were in the womb, he knew what he wanted to accomplish through you personally. That is what the greatness is. That's how you become great in his eyes. You know, you can become successful in the world and only be successful in the world. Doesn't mean you've become great. I would say you are not called to be a success. You are called to be great in him. When Abram left, we know that he took his wife Sarai, soon to become Sarah, but he took his wife Sarai, as well as his nephew Lot, his possessions, which mostly would be herds, and the herdmen who were going to take care of them. Now, we really don't know how many went with him. We know he was well off. We know he had great herds, so he probably had quite a few herdsmen to go with him. But we're never told how great of a wealth he had when he left his father, Terah. So there's really no way of knowing how many people he managed to bring along with him. We do know Abram was well off. But we're also told that Lot was well off, although we don't know when he accumulated his wealth. Could have been after they left. Could have been before they left the father, Terah. But Lot acquired at least a lot of wealth as well. What we do know is that by chapter 13, between the two of them, there were so many animals that no single lamb would be able to support them both. And this is when we're told, this is when we read that they were to be separated. It's also a time that we start to see the differences between Abram and Lot. So in verse 4 of that of chapter 13 of Genesis, we start to read the difference between Abram and Lot. And we read about Abram this way in Genesis 13:3. He proceeded by stages from the Negev as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar that he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of Adonai. It's then after that that Abram tells Lot that they need to separate in verse 8. So Genesis 13:8 says, "So Abram said to Lot, 'Please let there be no strife between me and you, or between my shepherds and yours, since we are relatives. Isn't the whole land before you? Please separate yourself from me. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left.'" Now we're told of the important difference between the two men right there. When we read verse 10, we see the difference specifically. Abram has Lot make the choice. I'm getting a little crackle. You think my battery's low? Let's keep an ear for it. Okay. So we're told the important difference of these two men in verse 10. Verse 10 and 11 says this: "Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the whole area surrounding the Jordan was well watered in its entirety before Adonai destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Like Adonai's garden, like the land of Egypt, till you come to Zoar." So Lot chose for himself the whole area surrounding the Jordan. Lot journeyed to the east and be separated from each other. Lot lifted up his eyes and he saw what was before him. In verse 4, we read about Abram looking up and lifting up his eyes, and he saw Adonai. But in verse 10, Lot looked up and he saw a land. He saw things. And that's a big difference in them. Lot acknowledged that they need to separate. He knew that if he just looked around, there wasn't enough land to support all the animals, and they were going to have to separate. In fact, they were going to have to separate past the horizon. There just wasn't enough food for all the animals to graze on. So he must have done some research. He must have, you know, maybe he sent people out to see what the rest of the land was. Maybe he had heard stories of what the rest of the land was. What we do know, or at least what Scripture indicates, is he didn't look towards Adonai in trying to make the decision. He didn't pray. He didn't throw a purr, a dice or something, to figure out what Adonai wanted. He made the decision based on what he knew or what he found out from other people. His trust was not like Abram's, which said that whatever you leave for me will be great because I know Adonai will be there with me. Lot did not make that kind of decision. Lot made the decision based on what his physical eyes could see. Abram was able to look up at the sky and he saw Adonai. But Lot looked up at the same sky, and all he saw was the light of stars. When it came to picking a land to go to, he trusted in himself. Lot saw the trust that Abram had. He was with him from the very start of when he left Abram's father's house. But he didn't have that same kind of trust. He didn't have that same kind of faith. He probably saw how Adonai was prospering Abram. He may have even thought Adonai was prospering himself as well. But when it came time to make a decision, he placed his hope in what he could see. Now, Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, writes about this kind of trust in Romans 8. Starting in Romans 8:24, it says this: For in hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what is not seen, then we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. In the same way, the Ruach helps in our weakness. The Spirit helps in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Ruach himself intercedes for us with groans too deep for words. And he who searches his hearts knows the mind of the Ruach, because he intercedes for the Keshurim according to the will of God. He intercedes for the righteous according to the will of God. Lot looked with physical eyes, indicating that his hope was not in the Lord, even though he knew Uncle Abram was being led by Adonai. Abram was able to allow the younger Lot to choose for him, even though as the elder, he should have been given the honor to pick and choose. But he knew that regardless of the land he was going to get, Adonai would make it great for him, because Adonai was going to be there. He knew even before it was written by Shaul, the next verse of Romans 8. So Romans 8:28. Now we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Abram knew this. It didn't need to be written down for him to know it. He knew it because he knew who his God is. He knew the attributes of his God because he got to know him personally. That, I think, is the problem Lot had, that Abram did not have, is that he was not able to let go of the past as well. He had to see what was there in order to make a choice. He drew on his experience and made decisions that way. Remember what we just read about how Lot chose? It says that it looked like Adonai's garden, like the land of Egypt. He knew what a good land looked like. He knew what the herds would need and what that would look like. Therefore, holding on to the past, he made the choice that he made. Abram was able to let go of the past, even as good as it was. So Adonai was able to fill him with new blessings, even greater than before. We're called to look back and to remember the history of our people and ourselves, but not to hold on to them so tightly that we're unable to take hold of the newness that Adonai will present to us. Adonai wants what is best for us. We have to know that. If we believe he's a good God, he wants what's best for us, even though it doesn't always look that way to us at the time we're going through. We could say that with new things come new things. In fact, we should expect new things. He can provide new things all the time. But we have to let go of the old things. We're told to trust in Him when it comes to new things. Proverbs 3, starting verse 5. Trust in Adonai with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. If you trust in Him, then let Him decide what path to take and just how it should look. If it's a new way, then how are you supposed to know what it's supposed to look like? We don't know. We don't have that experience. Many would want to say, but I've seen things like this. I know how it's supposed to be. I know what it should look like. It should look like this. We need to let go of that picture of the past when we're looking to the future. Have you ever heard of a monkey trap? I heard this years ago, a lot of years ago, too many to count. And I had to look it up on the internet now because it came to my mind. And I'm like, is this real? There's enough in the internet to say, it might be, it probably is. But so a monkey trap is the way that monkeys are trapped in India, or at least the way it used to be. So what they would do is they'd place a banana into something that has an opening just large enough for the monkey to stick its hand in. It would grab onto the banana, and then it couldn't pull its hand back out, and it would be trapped. And literally would be so intent on holding onto that banana that someone could just walk up and capture, hurt, kill. It would be unable to escape the trap because it was unable to release the hold of what the only thing he thought counted. And there are some people the same way today. They want to hold on to the past with a clenched fist so tight they're not able to escape from the past and get to the new thing that Adonai wants for them. And we know from Jeremiah 29 that He has good things for us. Just to remind us, Jeremiah 29:11. Almost everybody knows it. For I know the plans I have in mind for you, declares Adonai. Plans for shalom and not calamity, to give you a future and a hope. He has good things, but that means letting go of the past. He has plans to prosper us, not harm us. But in order to get those plans, we have to let go. Doesn't mean that we forget, but to release the hold that they have on us. I read a passage in John 6 that is just about this. Yeshua had just told the crowd of disciples that they must eat His body and drink His blood to follow Him. This is what happened next. John 6:61. John 6:61. But Yeshua knew His disciples were murmuring, so He said to them, does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man going back to the place where He was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no benefit. The words I have spoken to you are Spirit and are life. Yet some of you do not trust. Yeshua knew from the beginning who were the ones who did not trust, as well as which ones would betray Him. Then He told them, for this reason, I've told you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father. From this time, many of his disciples left and quit walking with him. After telling the people they needed to eat his body and drink his blood, he knew the people would be upset. So Jewish people, what do you mean, eat your body? And especially drink any blood? They weren't up for that. He knew it was going to upset them. And then he says, hey, if this upsets you, wait until you see me go back to where I used to be. Back to the right hand of the Father. He was not only telling them that he must return, which of course they didn't understand at the time, but that there was something new coming and they would need to release the old to take hold of what was new. He never did say, forget about what happened. He never said, forget the past. He never said, forget the instructions of Torah. Never said, forget the Tanakh, the writings. He never said, forget the things that I've done so far. But he did say that he was going to be, that he was there to bring a new thing, to get ready. Let go of the banana. Move forward with me. Verse 66 says that after hearing what Yeshua had to say, there were many who quit walking with them. They were not able to continue their walk because they were trapped holding a banana. Past beliefs, past traditions, that's the banana they were holding on to. When we're able to move forward with him, then we in our work will be filled with power. Look what Shaul wrote to those in Thessalonica in the second letter recorded to them. In 2 Thessalonians 1:11 says this, with this in mind, we pray for you constantly that our God may consider you worthy of the calling and fulfill with power every good desire and work of faith, so that the name of the Lord Yeshua may be glorified in you and you in him, in keeping with the grace of our God and the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. Shaul prays for them that Adonai would give them power, would give power to the works and desires of the people there. He prays that there would be they would be considered worthy of the calling, which means that they would be free to move forward with him, to continue to walk with him, that they would not be trapped in the past by false teachings or just in the past, never mind by false teachings. He knows that it is not their own flesh. It wasn't even his own flesh or teachings that could prosper them. Shaul was pointing them to the Ruach that will be able to do for them. And that's true for us today as well. We must be free to walk with him. We cannot hold on to things that we thought we knew to be true if they don't actually line up with his word. And by that I mean all of his words. From Genesis to Revelation, we are to line up with all of them. Not the ones we like, not the easy ones, all of them. That could mean releasing the past teachings that weren't right, or even some of the things that we see and hear on the internet. Not everything that is being taught on the internet is correct. Wait a second, but it's on the internet. Be careful what you expose yourself to. I know everyone wants as much teaching as they can. You know, it's not like the old days when you went to a congregation and all you saw was the rabbi or the pastor in front of you. Now you see that, and then you go home and you watch that, and that, and that, and that, and that. But sometimes the rabbi is on the path, and then there's that, and that, and that, off further the path. Test each thing you allow into your life, including what the rabbi says. Make sure that it's correct. Test each one of them that you allow into your lives, and if you believe that there's something from the past or present that does not line up, then let's talk about it. Come to me, and let's see what is really correct. It could be something from the present that needs to be changed. Each of us is responsible to Adonai for our personal conduct and beliefs. And therefore, it's upon each of us to review our actions and our beliefs. If they don't line up with his word or what is taught here, then it's up to you to figure out which one is off. Are you walking outside his word? If you need help, then let's talk this over. Do you think you found something that is outside his word in Karen Orr? Then let's talk about it. As a member or an attendee of Karen Orr, if you think something's wrong, how much wronger is it for you just to walk away without trying to correct it? I'm not saying I'm right all the time, but I am saying I want to be right all the time, and I want Karen Orr to be right all the time, and I'm willing to listen. As a loving member, attendee, and I love all of you, and I believe you all love me, but we need to watch out after each other. That's what membership is. That's what attending on a regular basis is. It's making yourself accountable, not just to Adonai, but to each of us, to help us become accountable to Adonai. You may be right, you may be wrong, I may be wrong, but it's just irresponsible to walk away without trying to get the congregation right if you think something's wrong. I haven't been in full-time ministry all that long. You guys, probably most of you know that. I've only been here at Karen Orr for about 4 years. But in those 4 years, I've seen people just walk away because they thought something was wrong and don't even want to talk about it. There are two problems with that. It doesn't follow the Matthew 18 example that we want to follow. If you see something in your brother that's wrong, go to them in love. The other thing that's wrong is you're going to abandon all of those people you thought you loved at one time to wrong teaching? We need to love each other enough that we're willing to say, hey, you know what? Let's talk about this one. And then be open enough to say, you know what? You're right. Or open enough to say, I'm glad you saw it my way. And not hold it over them. That's who we want to be. A family who loves each other enough to support each other in both the physical and spiritual matters. And that's what we're trying to create here at Karen Orr. A family that cares about each other. A family that cares enough about each other to talk to leadership or each other about what they may see. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you that you've given us your word, that you've given us examples to follow, that you've given us the model of Matthew 18, the model of even, you know, when we read through Scripture. I said it last week. You know, if the Pharisees had followed the model that Adonai had set up, they would have gone in love to Adonai, to Yeshua, and discussed it with him and found out which is right. And then they would be open enough to follow that which was right. Well, Father, open our hearts so that we could see what's right and follow what's right. Yeshua, we just want you, by the Ruach HaKodesh, to lead us so that we may maintain ourselves on your path. We do not want to be on a path of our own. We don't want to be right. We want to be righteous. We don't want to be with the crowd. We want to be with you. We want you and you alone. So Ruach, thank you for opening our eyes to your word, to your voice, and to your ways. And everyone said, amen and amen.